Its current state on WKAR for a Thursday. Stakeholders across Michigan are responding to Governor Rick Snyder's 2016 budget proposal. The $54 billion spending plan includes increases in education, job training, and the state police. It also includes spending reductions in about a dozen state agencies. As always, there's something for almost everyone to like and to dislike. Here to share their thoughts and recommendations on the new budget are two members of the House Appropriations Committee. We're pleased to have them. First, we welcome to current state Republican Representative Earl Pulaski of Jackson. Good to see you.
Good morning.
And we welcome back to the program East Lansing Democrat Sam Singh. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
Before we get into particular budget areas, and there are plenty of those, give us, if you would, an overall letter grade to this spending plan, please. How would you grade it, Representative Pulaski?
Well, I think Governor Snyder gets a B plus. And as our appropriations chair noted yesterday, that yesterday was the opening day for appropriation season, and the governor threw out the first pitch. And I think the game goes nine innings, and that's about as far as we are in the appropriations process now.
B plus, Sam. What do you think?
I would go more to a C minus. I thought there was, you know, some contradictions within the budget itself. You know, some positive things here and there, but then obviously some things that I think are going to set back, especially our K through 12 school system.
B plus and C minus. You both sit on appropriations. I imagine you sit on a committee like that. You, in a way, you may well have the ideal budget in mind, at least in broad terms. If you could redo one item in this budget, Representative Pulaski, what would it be?
One item in this budget. Wow. Haven't even thought about that. Well,
you like this HICA plan?
The HICA plan, we may have to pick up some tax changes there because it hasn't generated the dollars that we've needed. But we'll see how that goes. I don't know that you can pick any one thing. It's a $54 billion budget, and things have to, you got to go through the process. I would suggest that Representative Singh and I have thought about revenue sharing. How does that work? Okay. Can we get a few more dollars for our local governments out of this process and push services closer to the people? I think that would be certainly a nice thing to have, but you have to have the dollars for it.
Well, dollars for municipalities are going up in 2016, are they not?
They are. The constitutional revenue sharing is increasing, and that's a function of the sales tax increase and the fact that the economy here in Michigan is growing, and those dollars are growing. Statutory revenue sharing, on the other hand, as I understand, will stay flat.
If you could change one thing, Sam, what would it be?
It would be graduate medical education. You know, this is one of the contradictions in the governor's budget. You know, he talks about skilled trades and putting more money into skilled trades, which I think he'll have bipartisan support for. But at the same point in time, within this budget supplemental and executive order, he is cutting graduate medical education. And we've seen this year after year with this governor. Again, we know we have a doctor shortage here in the state, obviously, you know, representing Michigan State University and our two medical programs here. We need those dollars and resources, and for him to cut them once again makes, I think, it really difficult for us to have the stability that we need to have, you know, for the future doctors of our state. And my hope is, again, like we've done over the last 2 years that I've been on the committee, is that the governor has cut these programs and we've had to go back and put the money back in. And so my hope is that we'll resolve that through the budget appropriations process.
Representative Sam Singh, Representative Earl Pulaski joined me this morning on Current State to talk about Governor Snyder's first pitch, his proposed 2016 budget. The governor needed to address a deficit this time around, but there were spending increases nonetheless. First and possibly foremost, education. Some highlights here: $108 million more dollars in the K-12 foundation grant money. Increases, not huge. Modest, 1.4% and 2% for community colleges and state universities, respectively. $30 million in additional best practices money for K-12. Representative Pulaski, are the governor's priorities right regarding education or not?
The priority is right. Education is critical to our state. Unskilled folks just don't have a chance in our future, and they've got to be well-educated. And I think we're being careful with those dollars. That $108 million that you suggested is about $75 per student. And what is not noted in those figures is the fact that the state is carrying a very significant load in funding the MIPSRS obligation, the retirement system for educators. We've relieved local districts of those many of the higher amounts of obligations. If that had not been done, we'd be spending each district over $1,000 per student in higher fringe benefit costs. Mm-hmm. And those are dollars that don't translate to a teacher in a classroom. So I'm proud of the prudent way in which funding for education is being proposed by the governor.
Representative Singh, you've already weighed in on the graduate medical education piece here. What about all the rest of the, how does the dust settle on education?
Sure, on K-12 is kind of the area that I'm concerned. Again, another contradiction. You know, the governor talks about a $75 per pupil increase here. But again, some school districts last year had $100 per pupil increase in one-time funding. And so we could actually see school districts actually losing money this year in comparison to next year. We'll be getting actual those district-by-district numbers coming forward next week. And so my concern is that you're going to see some winners and losers through this plan. But most importantly, you have to take a look at there's over $250 million that is in the school aid fund that could actually be given to the local school districts to be able to reduce classroom sizes, to be able to bring more materials and supplies into local classrooms. And those are unfortunately are being moved to other areas of the budget to solve this budget crisis. And unfortunately, what we're going to see is those school districts that are struggling to make sure that we get the students at the test levels that we want them to be at are going to continue to struggle. There's not a single family that I've talked to that actually feels like we're better off or better funded in our schools than we were 4 years ago.
Representative Pileski, follow up on that. $250 million in the school aid fund going out.
Sure, and what Representative Singh is referring to is the fact that the community college funding is going to come into the school aid fund where there are dollars available and where it is appropriate and legal to fund community colleges from the school aid fund. Also, we had planned to put about $80 million extra into MIPSRS. That's not going to be done according to the governor's suggestions. That tends to relieve the school aid fund of that obligation for the short time. We're talking about a budget crisis. I'm not sure I would describe it as such. Clearly, we have seen that revenues are down, and in a responsible way, we're working to get the budget balanced in the middle of the fiscal year so that we can continue to provide the services we're supposed to provide as responsibly as possible.
Republican Representative Earl Pileski of Jackson, Democratic Representative Sam Singh of East Lansing are my guests here on WKAR's Current State. Technical career training also got more money, the governor wants to give it more money, $35 million in 2016. In a year with a deficit, is that money well spent?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said before, you know, we need to be improving our skilled trades. There's a lot of job shortages in many of our skilled trade areas, and these are great paying jobs, you know, anywhere from $60,000 to $90,000 per year, you know, jobs and careers. And so we need to be able to provide the resources and the training so we can get people there. I think this is going to be one of the areas of the budget that will have bipartisan support.
Agreed.
Agreed, absolutely.
Okay. State police, an increase in 2016, but cuts elsewhere. This yesterday got a little muddied because the governor made a proposal for 2016, but he no sooner made his proposal than he issued an executive order to cut spending for the current fiscal year that we're in, 2015. When you factor it all in, where does the dust settle on state police spending? It looks like they got a bump 1 year and they maybe got cuts elsewhere.
They've got a cut in 15. We're gonna trim back the training for the state police. We're going to trim back some of the disaster recovery dollars that we had appropriated as a result of some things that had occurred last year that didn't cost quite as much to deal with. So while there are fewer dollars, it doesn't mean there are fewer services or that we are less safe. We're going to trim back the training. I think they're going to delay a road officer school. So I think it's something the state police can deal with and maintain public safety at the same time.
concerns there, Sam, or yeah, a sensible plan?
I would say, yeah, the cuts were one-time funding opportunities that the department actually gave to the governor to said that they could actually manage without this year. You know, it is always good to increase the numbers because we have seen our trooper numbers go down in numbers over the last decade. But I always remind people that even though the state troopers are an important part of our public safety, it's actually the local police officers. And, you know, coming from local government, you know, we've seen over 2,400 police officers across the state be let go because of cuts to revenue sharing. And even though the constitutional part is increasing in revenue sharing, the governor once again has kept the statutory part flat. And if we do want to see actual, you know, increases in public safety, we need to put more local police officers on the streets.
Mm-hmm. I want to get both of you. I'm sorry, you were going to say something, Representative
Pelosi? I would simply note that revenue sharing has been growing over the past 4 years. Regrettably, revenue sharing had to decline during the 2000s because revenues were down. But what comes first? Do more revenues come or do more dollars available to local units of government? So we have to rebuild our revenue base before we can spend more money locally.
I have to ask where you both stand on the increase in the rainy day fund. That will receive an increase in 2016 if you approve the governor's plan. A good move, Representative Pelosi?
I absolutely agree with it. I think we should continue to grow the budget stabilization fund. It will help our credit rating and therefore our state generally. It will help our local units of government also.
Representative,
we have a very healthy, you know, rainy day fund, and if people don't believe, it's actually raining. You know, the governor has acknowledged that when he made his tax changes to the business tax system in 2011, that they didn't adequately prepare themselves for a lot of the tax credits. These are liabilities that were on the books, and I'm sure the CPA governor was aware of those. And obviously, part of the budget crisis that we're dealing with right now is that two or three of these big tax credits, you know, came due. And again, when you change the entire budget for the business tax system and you actually take billions of dollars out of the system, you're going to see these problems. And so to me, you know, we have to resolve the situation within the MEDC, be able to curtail some of their spending, but also in the time like this where you're having such budget deficits created because you did make these changes to the tax system, I think you should be using those $95 million to other areas of the budget, such as K-12 funding.
Now, regarding cutting, and before we get to 2016, as I mentioned earlier, the governor signed an executive order yesterday cutting current fiscal year spending, FY 2015 spending, by just over $100 million. 11 agencies are affected, state police, corrections, community health. Was this unavoidable given the financial realities, Representative Pelosi?
I believe it was, and as Representative Singh noted, although our economy is strong, tax revenues are up. The tax credits that have been claimed by some taxpayers have created a hole in our general fund. These tax credits were generated in the previous decade when economic development could only be done by the desperate granting of tax credits to businesses in order to keep them in our state and to attract them to our state. Now the bill is coming due. It's a kind of a good and bad situation. The bad situation is we've got to redeem those credits contractually. The good thing is that those taxpayers are hiring people, which is what they were. The tax credits were designed to do. So I would simply note that economic development now should be done by creating a level playing field so that people can hire and expand, make a profit, and keep it here in Michigan.
Representative Singh.
Well, again, you know, when we did have these tax credits come due, again, I felt like if you were changing the system in 2011, you should have been making sure that there was enough revenue coming in from the business community to offset some of these credits. So obviously we have to deal with the situation now because the governor and the legislature back then did not make those changes, did not ensure that there was enough business revenue coming in to cover those. We're going to have to pay the price now. And so we had to do something. And so some of those areas are responsible, but I'm going to take a close look at the human service cuts, because what I hope we're not doing is, you know, balancing this budget on the backs of the most vulnerable in the state.
There are cuts in community health and human services, state police, corrections, 11 agencies altogether in the 2015 cuts. I want to go back 10 miles off the ground, though, and ask you both, what kind of discussion are these tax credit shortfalls triggering at the Capitol. Does what the state did in 2008-2009 look differently today than it did in 2008 and 2009? Does this approach need to be revisited?
Well, the approach, I should say, first of all, I think the bleeding has been stopped. These sorts of tax credits are not given anymore. The view of Governor Snyder and of this legislature has been that to grant a tax credit is to give an open checkbook to someone to claim that credit. We prefer to do economic development and other things at the state according to an appropriation that we have some control over. There's less control over these tax credits. Mm-hmm. And actually, we're gathering information now on exactly how much is out there and when it might be turned in.
Okay. Sam Singh?
Yeah, I just would say, you know, one of the things that we still have to do is rein in the MEDC, because what we have right now is the MEDC's unelected board can make changes to these tax credits to allow them to be actually cashed in earlier or to extend the number of years to these things. And I do believe that that's something that we as legislators should take the legislative control over, because if they are making changes to these tax credits that then allow them to go on longer or be more lucrative to these businesses, it's going to end up costing our general fund money. Therefore, we're going to make more cuts to all these programs that we're already talking about. And so I think there's a couple bills that will take a look at a couple of the venture programs that we have there that'll be bipartisan nature. My hope is that we'll also curtail what the board can do in expanding any of these tax credits or some of their conditions. And I hope that's bipartisan as well.
Well, as Representative Pileski pointed out, the first pitch has been thrown, and now it's in the hands of the legislature. We'll continue to watch this real closely. We want to thank both of you for joining us here today. Republican Representative Earl Pileski and Democratic Representative Sam Singh both sit on the House Appropriations Committee at the state capitol. Thanks very much.
Thank you.